still blooming in and out of focus. The very idea of moving even an inch from this spot makes me want to sew my mouth shut so I can never, ever, ever drink again. An air conditioner kicks on somewhere nearby and floods the space with crisp, industrial air. There's a hint of cigarette smoke, the unmistakable trace of perfume, the odor of a lot of alcohol. I wrinkle my nose. I'm fairly certain that last one is me. It feels like someone is trying to pry my scalp from my skull, and when I manage to reach down and pull something, a sock, I think, out from under my leg, I realize that I'm also very, very naked. A tiny cough sounds from somewhere to my left. So I'm also not alone. It's startling how fast something like that can sober a person up. I bolt to my feet, and regret it almost immediately. I groan, knees buckling. I squeeze my eyes shut, bracing myself against the mattress until the world rights itself again. The other side of the bed has clearly been used. The sheets are pulled loose, the comforter missing, and another sound, a soft murmuring, rises from the floor below. I peer over the edge, and the shape of a naked, sleeping woman swims in front of me. She's curled on her side, facing me, and I'm immediately overwhelmed by miles of creamy skin and legs and, God, the swell of what looks like the most perfect breast I've ever seen. I straighten, and a hand against my temple brings with it another wave of nausea. The slight pressure is enough to make me want to throw up all over the tangled white sheets and the girl who, somehow, has managed not to wake during any of this. The muscles in my abdomen, legs, and shoulders are sore from exertion, and from the way every inch of my skin aches, especially in some rather delicate places. I know a lot of sex happened last night. I feel like I ran a marathon. I force myself to lean over the bed again and focus, to take in the glossy dark hair and red lips, the long, graceful neck covered in a roadmap of what I can only guess are hickeys I gave her. She shifts in her sleep, brings an arm up and over her head, and I freeze, seeing the simple glint of gold on her finger. I freeze, panicking. Did I fool around with a married woman? I run my hand down my face, groaning at the horror of this, and pause at the feel of the cool metal on my cheek. My heart practically comes to a stop when I see a matching gold band on my hand. Oh. Oh. I can't believe that for even the heartbeat I forgot what happened with Mia. The first thing I'd noticed was her mouth. Full and round, lips the color of cherries, and so red it was almost obscene. It sounds cliché that my first reaction was to think of sex, but Jesus, it's all that came to mind, looking at those lips. Sure, I had imagined them in the most predictable, visual, man ways possible, around my cock, dragging along every other inch of my body. But I also wanted to know if they tasted like cherries, too. There were three women settled into a booth on the other side of the dance floor. The tall redhead was telling some story, clearly trying to shout above the music and gesticulating wildly with her hands. The brunette next to her was laughing like it was the funniest thing she'd ever seen. But the one with the darkest hair and the mouth was just sitting there, smiling. Grinning like watching her friend laugh was the highlight of her entire night. And that was infectious. Je n'ai jamais vu quelque chose d'aussi beau. I realized I was staring and tried to look away several times. Finn and Oliver were pointing out some girl dancing on a table across the bar, but I'd tuned them out long ago. Unable to hear a word they were saying anyway. Music poured through the club, with a beat that swallowed every conversation, until the only way to communicate was with hips and hands.